I have Paige Turner on the podcast. This is awesome. I've really loved, I've only seen you like a couple weeks now. I really love your material.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
How long have you been doing stand-up for?
I have been doing stand-up since August 15th.
Oh, wow. So that's not a long time. Wow. You have a lot of material, like...
I do, yeah.
So, that makes sense.
If there's anything I don't do, it's shut up. I write a lot, just trying to find my footing, you know, like trying to find my voice or where I'm trying to come from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's really just, like, the hardest thing is just finding out. Because the thing that's, like, odd about it is you want to make it by your own material. You want to make it by, like, the stuff that you find funny. And it's such a personal, that's actually such a personal thing. Your sense of humor is such a personal thing. And it can take a lot just to, like, be like, okay, is anyone going to relate to this at any at anything? Oh, that's great. So, how many times a week do you usually do it?
I want to say 5.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about finding places, you know, like mics and stuff to do and get, like, enough, like, time to... Right.
So it's just, you have to pick and choose where you say what things, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, because I just started. So
right.
I don't know a word I say.
Well, I mean, that's what I thought was so cool about, I watched your thing on YouTube of, like, your 30 minutes, and I thought... Like, wow, to already have, like, 30 minutes is, like, big deal. I personally didn't know how to, like, technically write, like, a joke until I was, like, 2 years in. It was all just throwing shit up against the wall until I found the structure of, like, oh, this is what you do. Yeah, that's great. Who are your favorite comedians that sort of influenced you?
You kind of sound like you're underwater right now.
Let me see if I can hold this closer. Let me see. Who are your favorite comedians that influenced you?
Oh,
to start.
Canceled or not?
Oh, I don't care either. Either. Yeah, that's why I thought you were going for, because Louis's a big one for me, too. He was a big influence for me early on.
Yeah, definitely. I started listening to him way, way too young. And it really just shaped my entire sense of humor in general. Just, like, what everything that I find funny and everything that I find shocking and everything that I find... in like fifth grade or something, and I put on one of his specials, and nobody was around to tell me not to, and I was homesick. And I think it was Chewed Up.
Oh yeah, fantastic, yeah. And
it was just like my eyes got as big as saucers. I was just like, you can say that, like,
right?
It was just a moment for me, and then ever since then, he's kind of been my benchmark for what envelope pushing you can do, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's really cool to have comedians like that, because when I was younger, like, before, I didn't really get into stand-up until, like, I was, like, 15, 16 years old of, like, being, like, a hardcore fan of it. Because when I was, like, younger, on Comedy Central, there were only three comedians that they showed all the time. It was Jeff Dunham, Gabriel Iglesias, and... Definitely Gabriel Iglesias and who else? Dane Cook. That was the three that they showed all the time. And it wasn't until like I was able to find like other people like Louis and Bill Burr that I was like, okay, there's more like people in this that are like have different perspectives, and that's like been a super cool thing, was finding those other comedians and really going into the whole world of it.
Yeah, definitely. And just with people like that who aren't afraid to push the envelope like that, it's important. It's formative for you to see as a young comedian.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Just seeing some, like an example set of the kinds of things that people can say without getting in trouble.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the biggest thing to me is, like, my sense of humor has always been about, like, bringing people in. Like, to me, I had to learn, like, when I started, this is an interesting question. When do you feel like you started being funny? Do you think it was something your, like, entire life, or was there, like, a turning point? Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
So I'm not exactly, like, a big proponent of, PJ is super funny, and, like, I'm not in that camp.
Right.
If anybody is, I'm not.
Right. Well, that's a good perspective to have, like, a humble one. I just think, like, to me, I always think... I became funnier, like, as a funny person, like, it sort of came to me when I was in high school, because a lot of what started was, like, me learning to fight back verbally, because I was picked on a whole bunch, was, like, once I learned that I had that, like, snarkiness, I was like, oh, shit, this is, like, a button to push all the time.
Right.
And then I had to learn to use it for good and not evil. Oh, yeah, no. Me neither.
Any of that. So, I don't really recall much of before that, but then when I got to high school, I made some friends in my my theater program and everything, mm-hmm. And that I kind of just found my people there.
Right.
And be snarky and it really like sharpen our like timing and our senses and everything.
Oh yeah.
Like a safe space to experiment with being crude or crass or whatever.
Oh yeah. That's such, yeah, that's such a formidable thing too when you're a teenager and you're like, you find other people that are, you know, have the same type of humor as you, and you're just like, okay, this is something. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
And I was curious if you had any type of performing background, because some people do, some people don't. So you at theater? Oh, wow.
So I was very, very, very active in the student theater organizations and stuff like that. Because I just, once I found that, like, it was over for me. Like, I just found my people and I found my niche, and it was just something that I loved so much that I could pour all of myself into, you know?
Right. Oh, that's great. So, what plays did you do?
I did. Let's see, we can go through all of them. let's see. We have. I did Macbeth.
Oh,
I did,
sweet.
I did Anything Goes. I did a murder mystery called Technology of a Murder. I did Fools by Neil Simon. I did Mary Poppins. I did, what else did I do? I did a murder mystery called Wedding Song. I did a play called Peter and the Star Catcher, which is like a Peter Pan spinoff.
Oh,
I did,
yeah.
Wizard of Oz. What else did I do? I did, a murder mystery called Occupation Murder, and 12 Angry Men, and let's see what else we did. 42nd Street, and then we did, every year we did a review, like a R-E-V-U-E, like a variety show.
Kind right, of. Yeah, yeah. No, oh, those are.
So we did that every year too, and then yeah, that was.
Were you mostly in like main roles, like?
I in the plays definitely yes, but in I'm not very musically gifted, so.
Oh. Oh, that's great. So, do you think that really helped with your stage presence and just getting you more comfortable, like, now? Like, do you think it's had that effect? How has it been socially for you for doing comedy? I know it can be like very tough for women. Have people been generally nice?
Yeah, because I feel like they'll treat me like with kid gloves almost.
Right.
And I want that very little.
Right, of course, yeah. I think that just happens, like, unfortunately, that happens so much with women in comedy, is, like, guys will think, like, oh, we're being too offensive, or we're being too, like, yeah, be like, no, this person's a comic. Like, they get it. Like,
yeah, definitely.
So that can be a tough thing, but, like, it's just, I feel like we have a really good community in the places that we have, so that's what I always think is at least a silver lining.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had the same thing, like, when I started doing comedy, like, doing stand-up, because I started improv, but when I started doing comedy, like, with stand-up, it was so cool, because I got to meet, like, this whole world of just people, and it was just, like, having like-minded people around you is, like, so cool to have, and be like, oh, wow, like, I'm, like, I wish I knew these people when I was younger. Right, of course.
When we were so much more immature and, like, just insecure and like, not very confident in ourselves. And
oh, yeah. I mean, it's... It's a mere thing. I totally get what you're saying. Because, like, the cool thing to me with it is just being... I hope you don't mind me asking. How old are you? Oh, okay. So, kind of like similar to me when I started doing stand-up, I was 21, 22. So, like, I understand, like, that being... The age difference is such a weird thing. Because, like, it can be so, like, weird. Like, oh, these people are a few years older than me, and you don't know, like, how you're going to fit in socially with that. And then it's like... Yeah, so...
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think that's really where I fit in best, because I kind of have that feel about me, I guess.
Yeah, I could totally buy it. I totally understand that, like, old soul but thing from you. Totally get that. Yeah. I love how, like, just your humor is so sharp. And, like, really dark stuff that is actually, that's, like, really good. Like, have you always sort of had that, or is that something you've recently just, like, realized?
I think I've always, well, a little bit of both, because mm-hmm. I've always had the raw, like, feelings of those dark things, like,
right.
So that I had to, like, that I felt like I have to do it right now.
Yeah. I think people are so lucky nowadays to kind of know a little bit more about comedy, because when I started, I really didn't know about open mics, and, like, even if I did, I don't know, like, maybe that would have helped a little bit, because I had to start in improv because I was so young, because I was, like, 16 when I wanted to get into it, and then there was, like, no place for me to start besides doing improv, and I was like, I'm going to do improv for, like, a month, and then I'll find stand-up, like, somehow through that. And then it's like, nope, 7 years later, I'm still doing it. Like, but then we started having, like, comedians, like, open for us and stuff. And that was when I was able to, like, meet other people and be like, okay, I can do this now. But that buildup of, like, when you don't do it, it is such a cool thing to have that first moment on stage. What was your first set like?
And it goes over pretty well. Like, I think that with some tweaks and some adjustments and stuff since I put it on its feet, that first set has gotten a little bit more refined, but it was dark. It was dark.
Oh, wow.
Disabilities and a bunch of different subject matters that you have to, like, tread lightly, obviously.
Oh, wow. Like, that's surprising, but that's also, like, a really cool thing to do that on your, like, first stuff, to be like, that's what I'm going to talk about and sort of try and go through.
Well, I didn't want to half-ass it. Like,
right.
It felt like if I've been wanting to do this for so long, and I'm such a pussy by nature. Like, my instinct always is to if I think that I might be good at something, if I tried it, I just so that I could picture myself being good at it.
Right. If that makes sense. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so I'm glad, because everybody that I explain that to is just like, that is stupid. That is the dumbest thing that you've ever said.
No, I think, like, when you want to do something, you know, this is the tough thing about stand-up, and I've heard it from so many other people. It's so funny. I love the series Hot Wings. I don't know if you've ever watched it on YouTube.
Oh, I love Hot Wings.
I love Hot Wings. But John Mulaney was on it, and he talked about, like, his first, like, time doing stand-up, like, the first double times he did it when he was 18, and he's like, I cannot, like, put it into words of how I wanted to be better than I was at that period. He was like, I was not at the level that I wanted to be at when I started right away. And it's like, that's exactly what you feel like. Because you have that thing in your head of, like, what you think is good. And then you're like, this is where I'm at now.
Yeah, it's just crushing to figure out that you're not up to the level that you imagined that you could be eventually.
Right. But I think the really cool thing about stand-up is it's always evolving, and, like, every time you get on stage, it's just a new opportunity to have just something. Like, and the thing that I've learned, like, is I forget who it was, but there was this comedian that did, like, a seminar, and he said, you'd never learn anything from a good set. Like, you always learn stuff from bombing. Like, that's where you get, like, your most, like, lessons from.
Right.
is like, you know, a good set is nice, but it's like you're not going to learn a whole lot about what you need to do next. So
that's true.
Putting yourself in places is always a great thing. I was curious, what other mics have you gone to? Because I haven't seen you, but you're probably in a different area than I am.
Yeah, well, I live in North Brunswick, mm-hmm. so I gravitate to the Central Jersey ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I go to the Sunday ones that I see you at, and yeah. then I go to a lot of North Jersey stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you do Alan Witch at all?
I don't do Alan Witch, but I do, tonight I'm doing, Rhino in Suffer.
Yeah?
Where is Suffer?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't been able to go there yet. I want to go there so bad. I hear so much great things about it. Yeah, it also just seems like I hear the names of the people that go there, and that's, like, part of the reason, too, because I'm like, oh, I like those people, and I never really get to see them a whole lot. I'm like, that's kind of the cool thing about comedy, like, especially in New Jersey, is you'll meet someone, and you'll be, like, kind of surprised of, like, how interconnected everything is. And be like, oh, wow, this person knows this person. It's like... Yeah, and I just love how, like, it's like living in a TV show, in my opinion. It's like there's so many different, like, characters and just personalities that you would never imagine being in the same room together at all. Right.
In the community, and I don't know. I like meeting people who are so.
Oh, me too. People who just like are themselves, like to their core, and. That's where a lot of great comedy, I just think a great, like, art just comes from, is just people having that ability to be themselves. Like, that's why I love the co-op so much as a mic, because it seems like the atmosphere there is so welcoming for people just to be who they are.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, I saw that, you got that, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to be there on tomorrow, which is... annoying, but I saw you got the 10-minute spot. I was there when you won that, basically, and that was cool. Like, that must have been so gratifying just to see, like, to have that set go well, because it seemed like everyone was just, like, over the moon at how good you were.
Thank you.
Was that, like, was that something that was, like, was that shocking to you in a way, of how people reacted to it? Right, I think that's common. I think we all do that. We're like, this is gonna go terribly wrong at some point. I'm like, I can never be that too optimistic as I should be about it.
Yeah, so
that's
good. I'm glad you did my
Yeah, I watched that, and I thought it was really good, and I just thought, you know, I it's hard for me to, like, put myself in that kind of atmosphere, because I'm a person who always, like, I never did any Zoom comedy when COVID happened, and I'm just, like, I'm very much, like, a live performer, So that's very tough. I give you a lot of credit for that, because that's very tough to do something like stand-up without, like, a main audience there. Like, of course, for people watching, but, like, to go through the beats and everything. I thought it was... Yeah, I saw, but it was like, you know, I'm not going to bullshit you, I saw, but I like, you know, to me at least you did it. Like, at least you had that mindset to do that. I think a lot of people would, you know, even say it in a negative or positive way, would like wait a little bit. It's like, at least you did it. At least you went through, like, I'm going to do this thing and try and make it happen and make it work. And at least you found that narrative. I mean... It can be so tough to put yourself out there.
I met the guy at Wawa, mm-hmm. and he's a promoter for local bands, mm-hmm. and he was just saying that, I was telling him that I was doing stand-up, and he was saying that if I could scrounge together a half hour, I could do a special on his... Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm not gonna fucking turn down that opportunity.
Oh yeah, of course.
Even though it's not ideal, obviously, online and everything.
But, right. I think though, any chance you get, like, every comedian does it. Like, that's the one thing that is, like, reassuring to know, is like everyone does it. When we're given an opportunity that we don't know if we're ready for or not, we're gonna do it. I got, when I was like 2 years in, I got like on this theater, on this show at this hotel, there was this comedian who, he was like kind of a one-man show type of guy. And like, he did a very good thing. Like, he had a manager, which really helped him a lot. And like, I didn't get paid for this, but he was like, they wanted me to do 15 minutes. And I did not have 15 minutes of material. And after 5 minutes, I had to come up with like another 10 minutes that I did not have. And like, I wasn't being paid. I could have left, but I was like, I gave it like in my mind, I was like, no, I have to do this. And this set is going to be weird. And it was. It was like... Right.
Just,
yeah.
You have to bounce when,
yeah,
you get the one opportunity that you might ever get. So.
Right, of course. And that's one of the tough things too, is like this, the, I hate to like kind of sound this way, but like the industry is so tough. Like, we're in a place now which is really cool with the open mics and with everything that we have in our scene, where you can do this in a way, like, recreationally and also semi-professionally in a way, of, like, you don't need the big comedy clubs, like, behind you. Like, it's very tough in this state to get anywhere, like, big. Like, a lot of the comedy clubs are very tough to break into. You know, I talk to comedians of different states that do comedy. I'm like, oh, they actually give you guys opportunities and not, like, welcoming to people being on, to new people. Because that's just the toughest thing, is for people to take a chance on younger talent. And everyone just wants that like piece of it, just to be like, okay, I can make some sort of thing out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a tough thing. It's cool to take that opportunity and be like, I guess the only thing that was kind of bad for you was just, there was a little bit of censoring, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That must...
What was going on there? It was like, the guy was kind of, like, shadowing me and, like, watching from the ether, and I, every time that I said something, he gave me three topics that I couldn't talk about, mm. And I didn't on to other material, he Mm-hmm. Well, he insists it wasn't him, or that it was just Facebook muting me or whatever, but he said I couldn't slur, I couldn't talk about politics, and I couldn't talk about pedophiles.
Mm.
So I was like, that's doable. Like
right. I just think that's, you know, that's sort of the thing that's tough with stand-up in general is, like, I always feel like there should be, I don't know, like, a little bit of leeway with people. Because a lot of people that do stand-up, for the most part, are good people. Like, that's the thing that's annoying about it. Is, like, it always feels like the people who do comedy, like, the right way are never given the right platform. And then you'll see someone given, like, a platform, and you're like, that person shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see so many people will be like, and also I had that, like, the other way where I know a lot of comedians who, like, they're rough around the edge on stage, and they seem like they would be that way off stage, and they're not. And it's not like they're playing a character or anything. It's just, like, they just become able to put that stuff out there on stage better. And it's like, that can be tough because, you know, there's sort of like a, like, I mean, you're used to theater and stuff like that. And, like, I think there's sort of a, like, thing that people kind of don't take away from that. That it can be kind of like a show in a way of, like,
right.
You're not always serious, especially with comedy. You're not always serious 100% of the time with stuff. So I definitely dealt with that where it's like, no, that was a joke. That was not a real thought. And, but, yeah, I mean, that's tough, you know. I just, but I thought at least you had that, like, thing of, like, well, you had the material for it. Like, I think that's the one upside to it, is you had that. Like, are your sets, like, mostly, like, planned out pretty well, or how's that like?
Yeah.
Right.
So, because I know a lot of people who just write, like, bullet points or, like, their notes are very, like, scattered or, just ideas, and then you go from the ideas and then just kind of
yeah.
Write off of that.
I mean, it's cool that you have that discipline to do that. I know a few people that can write like that, and I'm always envious, because a lot of my stuff, like, especially the weirder stuff that I do, is, like, I have insomnia, so that's why I write, like, most of my jokes. So I'll be, like, 4 a.m, something will hit me, and I'll be like, Eureka, now I have to explain this to normal functioning people. And that's a whole, like, thing of it. It was like, okay, how can I explain this well? And then part of it is just, like, the thing that was, that's interesting about being a comedian is, like, how much it bleeds into your real life. Of, like, you can go through some type of experience that's, like, shitty, and you'll be like, well, at least I'll be able to talk about this on stage somehow.
Exactly. Yeah, you can always make it into some sort of, it's like an alchemy of some sort of valueless material into gold.
And also, that's, like, one thing that I think is kind of looked down upon, but, like, kind of not really focused on, is how, like, relieving it can be. And just how, like, there is a lot of good that can come from putting a situation that you went through that was not great, and putting that spin on it to present it and be, like, also because we live in the same world, like, everyone has shared experience. So when you're like, this is shitty, I'm going to point out that this is shitty, and everyone will agree, yes, that, what you experienced, was shitty.
that's it's cathartic for you to do.
Yeah.
Release, and then also validating for people to, if people agree that it was a shitty thing that you went through, it's validating for
right.
you.
I think that's one of the best things about, like, being a comedian. One of the things, like, do you have any siblings?
I have a younger sister.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm the youngest in my family, which they say a lot of comedians are. But, like, to me, I always feel like if you're in a situation, like, in your life where you don't really get to talk a whole lot or you don't really get your, like, opinion heard, that's very, like, enticing to do stand-up. Because you're like, oh, I finally have this 5-10 minutes to say what I want and be like, this is fucked up. This is fucked up. This is what I want to do. So that can be like you said, so like just good to put out into the world. Has your family been supportive? Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It's not always the healthiest environment to be surrounded by constantly by the drinking and the drugs. And
oh, yeah.
So,
that makes sense. So. I mean, that's kind of the weird thing about stand-up, especially when you start doing it, is people who aren't really, like, in the world of, like, fandom that we are, they kind of view stand-up as, like, more, like, fancy than it is. They think it's more glamorous than it actually is. And
yeah.
You have to sort of be like, no, this is not glamorous at all. But that's the cool thing that I like, especially about, like, New Jersey comedy and everything. It's just the punk rock vibe to it and just, like, that sort of underground nature to it. So, I don't want to get too personal, but is your family funny? Do you think, like, your parents and stuff, are they, do they have a good sense of humor?
I used to listen to stand-up with my father, a lot growing up, and I don't think that without that experience, I would probably have the same frame of reference or sense of humor or anything that I have today. So I don't know that they are necessarily funny, but they appreciate funny things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great thing. Like, I've been very lucky that, like, and especially with other people, like, since I don't drive, early on, my mom used to come and see my stuff a whole lot. She's always been very supportive. And people have always been surprised at, like, how, like, the stuff I can say in front of her. And it's like, humor was never a thing like that with us. It was like, they had a lot of leeway with stuff, like, when we were, the stuff we were able to watch comedically. And I know a lot of people grow up more sheltered. So, like, that's an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I got used to that pretty quickly, but my mother is a little bit more conservative in that sense. So
yeah.
She'll kind of be like pearl clutching type. I want to give her more credit than that because she's very supportive. But like if between either of them, I think that she would definitely be the one who would be a little bit more conservative and not
Right. I think the cool thing with something like that is also when you can get a person like that, like them specifically, or people of that mindset to laugh, that's like one of the greatest things ever.
Yes.
When you can break through that mold and make them like crack and make them like it. I'm like... Right.
I don't think she finds me very funny, like in general, like not. She doesn't think I'm unfunny, but she just doesn't kind of get it a lot.
Right. I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know where I was going.
No, that makes sense. No, it totally makes sense. Because like I said, like, before, it totally is true that, like, your sense of humor, like everyone's sense of humor, it's so personal. And that's the hardest thing, too, is, like, humor... outside of stand-up, like, it's very lowbrow. Like, that's the thing that people don't realize, is, like, humor around friends and around normal people, it's so much more lowbrow and less smart than it is on stage. So, like, that could be really tough to replicate, like, that type of humor. Because there's really no context sometimes. And, we have a big, like, I don't know if you've done any, like, you're pretty new. Have you done any roast battle stuff at all?
No, not at all.
I feel like you would be really good at that. I don't know,
I am hesitant to do stuff like that because I feel like I'm not very witty. Like, I can be clever if I write out a joke. But if I'm, like, in the moment or, off the cuff, I'm not very, valuable in the sense, as you can tell by the, awful way that I'm public speaking right now.
I totally understand, you know.
Bubblegum.
I just think with your stuff, like, how dark it can be and stuff, like, I feel like you would have that. Because, like, but also that's a tough thing to do in front of other people and, like, two other people. Like, the one thing that's always so strange about it is, like, it's, like, context again. Like, I like doing it sometimes, and especially, like, we have this, like, scene, like, this group of people that do the roast battle stuff, which is great. They're called Comedy Fight Club. They do a great job of it, but, like, they'll pair you with someone sometimes that you haven't met before, and then it's like, that's a good writing exercise, but also it's like weird socially. You're like, okay, I just met this person by insulting them. How is our relationship gonna be after this? And most of the time, like, it's fine. Like, you get along with them really well, but it is just an odd, like, first way to meet someone. And I just feel like with your stuff, like, how, like, dark and witty your stuff is, it just seems like it would be. But that makes sense that you haven't done it. It's cool, though, like, so you're really a sit-down and write, like, type of person with your stuff, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever, I was a creative writer in, like, school and stuff. Did you do any type of writing and stuff like that when you were growing up?
In college, I was really into poetry.
Oh. No, I totally understand that. Like, I think one of the things that's so common in stand-up that a lot of people don't know is every comedian, like, rarely is there a comedian who started something that it was just stand-up that they started in. Like, I wanted to be a screenwriter, and that was not a thing that worked out. And it's like, you find, like, you can love stand-up, too, and you just find that thing from it. I think a lot of, like, great creative failure comes from, like, getting people into stand-up. I think that's a formidable, like, thing for people's lives to be like, okay, maybe this one thing that I tried didn't work out like I thought it would. And then you can get into this, and it's, like, so much more satisfying to be like, okay, this is a thing I'm good at. This is a little bit more. But putting yourself out there is, like, a big part of everything, you know? Especially with that, of like, you know, with poetry, we have a poetry scene, like, in our comedy scene in the Jersey Shore, which is great. Like, these poets, they've been doing it for, like, 10 years, and they have a way tougher thing than us of, like, when they have to do, like, their poetry stuff, it's, like, it's not at, like, places where people are really expecting it, less than comedy. So, to be able to form, like, their world that they formed is really cool to see. And also, I noticed, like, from just what I've seen, is we have such similar personalities with poets. Like, because it's just the same type of formula that we go through with life. We're like, we come up with something, we see it, we're both writers, we're both, you know, performers in a sense. It's like that whole entire thing with it. So, that's really cool. So, I know you mentioned Louis. Is there any... Are you still able to watch comedy, like, from, like, a fan type of perspective?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I watch the same stand-up specials over and over and over.
Do you have any favorites? Oh, yes. Yeah. I love that special. That one is so great. Oh, my God. Like, to this day, like, I think it's his best, like, one ever. I love that one so much.
Awesome.
And just, like, the thing that's, like, great about it is, you know how he has that, it's so weird with the whole, you know, the Blind Side thing nowadays that just recently came out? About that movie? Did you hear about that?
No, I don't know.
Well, anyway, the movie The Blind Side, the guy from it, the football player, basically, they didn't really adopt him. They made him, like, in a conservatorship, basically. And that's what he's, like, suing them for now. And, anyway, Bill has that bit about, like, how movies are unrealistic and how they make, like, black and white people get along.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so weird that that came out, like, a year before The Blind Side. And he doesn't talk about it. But, like, that bit is so great. And just his... And that entire thing, like... My favorite thing about Bret Blair is hearing him talk about, like, just his, like, experience of being someone who was... He was a professional comic for a long time before he was, like, really super big. So, like, there's a thing of that that's really cool for him to talk about, like, you know... Like, he has this great inspiring quote where he's like, there's no, like, bad thing on taking a chance. Like, he's like, I was, you know, 38, living on a futon broke, and now I'm, like, huge. And it's like, you never know what can happen. And I always think that's cool. So... I like that. Are you a Ralphie May fan? Have you ever watched Ralphie May?
I'm not the biggest fan of his. photography.
Right.
But, I appreciate him definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Not what I would...
No, that makes sense. I mean, this is an interesting thing to me. Have you ever had a comedian that, like, you didn't really get or didn't really like that after you started doing stand-up, your opinion changed on it all? No, it's fine. I can give you an example. For me, was I love her now, but before I started like really getting into doing stand up, like for me it was Maria Bamford, which is such a crazy thing to me to say now. Like,
oh wow!
But like I didn't get it until I started doing stand up, and I was like, oh, she's a fucking genius. But. Oh, yeah. Me too. I'm so envious of people that can do that. Like, to me, I'm a big fan of observational comedians, of course. And, like, I'm a big fan of Jim Gaffigan and stuff. And, like, you know, a lot of comedians, like, that can just do that stuff. And to me, I'm like, I come from such a weirder sense of humor that, like, I wish I could just talk about something, like, mundane, like Seinfeld can, and make it, like... funny. I'm like, I have to find some weird thing to talk about and find some weird way to get into it, you know? So I take a lot of, that's the one thing I'm envious of. Like, one person I'm very much like, who was, I have a lot of people that were like big influences to what like I do. So it's interesting though. Like, the cool thing with stand-up is there's someone for everyone, which is so cool. Of like, no matter what personality type you have or what type of upbringing you come from or any type of, like, thing you're dealing with, there's a comedian for you nowadays that you can, like, fit with, that you can be a fan of and, like, relate to. I think that's a really cool thing. Oh, yeah. That makes sense. I hear that a lot, you know, with him. Yeah.
Because he's just such a genius, like, in the setup and punch sense of
yeah.
the word.
Yeah.
And he just has those one and two liners that are
right.
just...
Yeah.
So tight. And,
yeah. I have a friend in comedy, a comedian friend, who does the same style as him, and that was really cool. And the one thing that I noticed with a lot of those one-liner comedians is there's, like, a rhythm to it. There's almost, like, a musicality to that style that is kind of, like, underappreciated. It's, like, there really is a rhythm in how they talk.
Right.
It's, like, you see that with everyone that can sort of do that. Like, you know, Dave Attell is the same way. Of, like, just having that, like, part of their voice where there is, like, a rhythm to it. Like, that's what I always kind of envy of, like, having is, like, very rarely can I have, like, jokes that have particularly same type of style, I guess, or vibe. I'm just, like,
yeah.
I wish, like, once I had... I think one of the things that's, like, sort of a double-edged sword is once you learn that can be tough to break out of because then you're, like... Oh, yeah, of course.
That rhythm lends itself to a certain type of style that it's hard to break out of
like. Oh, yeah. I definitely have that, like, I've been doing stand-up for 8 years. I've been trying to write this special, like, this hour for 3 years now. And it's so tough to, like, put it into a narrative, really, of, like, because I do want it to be that way, but I don't want it to be too much of that way. So, like, it's a real thing of, like, learning that structure. And I think that's something that I can kind of envy from you, and you probably have from your theater, is being able to structure stuff really well. Of, like, this goes in the beginning, or maybe I'm just, you know, maybe I'm, you know, off base, and maybe it's not that way for you, where it's not as structured. Right.
But with my newer material since the half hour, I have been trying to, like, keep up with that structure in that direction, but
yeah.
Sometimes it's not working out as well as I'd like it to.
The one thing that I've learned a lot, and this would probably be easier for you as having an acting background than it is for someone like me, is, like, I found it really good to write in different moods and, like, different, like, ways of, like, if you're not feeling that, like, you don't have to feel a certain way. Like, you can go on stage and have a meaner set than you usually would, or you can go on stage with some type of different mindset than you usually do. That's what I always think of is a great, like, learning experience and writing experience, is like, I'm gonna go up and just be, like, more negative on stage, more positive, or take some type of narrative from it, and be like, you know, like, and it works a lot better in, you know, when I was starting out, it worked so much better in New Jersey to do, like, if you're in New Jersey, like, to New York, to Philly, like, people like sort of a rough around the edges, like, kind of persona in a way, so, like, audience members can like when you're a little bit meaner. Like, that's what I just realized. Like, that was one of the things that was, like, great when I started out, was, like, I used to be so, like, just, like, afraid of pissing people off. And then when I started getting, like, able to be a little bit more meaner on stage, like, people seemed to really like that. Which is, like, something I always am told that I should be more on stage when people see it. They're like, you should be meaner on stage. And I'm like, that's what you are in real life. Like, I know. Yeah, so. But that is a funny thing, too, with stand-up that I've seen, too, is you'll see someone on stage, like, they'll be fine or they won't be that great, and then you'll talk to them off stage socially, and you'll think, like, oh, this person should be the way they are off stage, on stage.
Right.
And that's such a tough thing. Right.
That's not very becoming of them, I guess.
Yeah, but then part of me, like, whenever I see that, I always have to remind myself, like, it's the same thing that we all do. It's like, we all want to do our sense of humor on stage. And sometimes your sense of humor doesn't really fit you as a person. Like, that can happen. I see that a lot, and that's stuff that I've dealt with, is, like, sometimes I'll see, like, I'll have, like, a joke, and I'll be like, oh, this is great for another person. And it's like, that's where, like, I sort of, like, had more respect for, that's when I started to have more respect for other, like, for, like, late night writers and stuff like that, was, like, okay, it makes sense, like, there are certain jokes where I'm, like, oh, I can give this to another person that I know, of, like, this fits more of their style and more of their thing.
And sometimes you hear, sometimes you write it in the cadence that you would hear somebody else.
Right. Right.
So, if you were to perform it yourself, it would kind of feel like a mask almost.
Right, yeah. So, you put the thing out on, you know, Facebook and YouTube. Do you have stuff on, like, Instagram or anything? Like, that you share, like, video-wise or anything yet?
little yeah. bit of like on my story and things like that just to keep just to keep relevant, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big part of it. It's hard to put stuff out online, and, you know, to me, I'm like, it's always quality. Like, I see so many people do, like, quantity over quality where they'll release stuff, and it's like, you know, it's like, why would you put that out there? To me, I'm like, if I put out a video, it has to be, like, it has to be a set that went well. Like, because then it's just a bonus, you know? If I get, like, a mean comment that's like, oh, this isn't funny, it's like, well, the audience was laughing, so I don't really care. It's like, if I put a video up where I'm bombing and I get like a hate comment on it, that's totally my fault. Like, it didn't go well, so why did you post that, Richard? But like, but yeah, it's a really cool thing. But thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, what is your social media stuff? That's great. I mean, thank you so much for doing this, and thank you for giving me your time and everything.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I can't wait to see your stuff again and see you perform. I mean, it's always awesome, so. Yeah.
Thanks.
So, all right. Have a nice weekend.
You too.